We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. We're going to jump into Trump legal here in just a few minutes. That's the first dipper, and I'll tell you right now that I've not had a chance to read it, but the breaking news is coming across the screen right now. I mean, here I have this whole dipper planned, and boom, breaking news on that. And oh, by the way, I've got a third dipper planned today about being pros at life, and boom, I just got a Supreme Court decision from Alabama that dropped in my inbox like 2 minutes ago. It's quite the day. We're on top of things. But in the ruling that's coming out right now from New York, my gosh, not only did the judge assess him a $355 million penalty, he has barred him from holding any executive office at his own New York company, and he's barred him from getting loans from New York banks for the next 3 years. Well, first of all, I think Trump's ready to get out of New York altogether. But I still look at this and go, my God, there is no way in the world this case is not getting overturned on appeal. We'll talk about that more as I develop the storyline. But that's happening as we speak right now on the news. I've never seen anything like this legal persecution that we're seeing of Donald Trump. Just boggles the mind. How anybody can look at this and go, well, you know, it's just because Trump did so many things wrong. No, actually, it's because of so many people that hate him. That's what's happening. And they're in positions of authority where they can actually take action. Unbelievable. I don't know that I've had this many text messages drop in the first 5 minutes before.
I know, this is a lot.
This is maybe that particular monologue. John from Huntsville says, Phil, fantastic monologue. Definitely one of your best. And then he begins talking about my nephew, JP, who works for the Dale Jackson Show this morning. He said, I asked a question about whether he was a fan of Nick Saban, and I thought for sure he'd say no, but he said he was a big Nick Saban fan. So now I know that there's a side of your family that loves Nick Saban and the university. So disappointing. I don't know what to tell you, John, but this is America, and he is certainly allowed to have his own opinion. And he's still a good one, by the way. I think JP, so this situation with JP is working for Dale Jackson. I'm not gonna be a bit surprised to find that JP does not become the conservative voice of Generation Z. I'm just saying. I mean, he's that sharp. Robert from Athens says, Colonel Phil, I know that federal employees cannot be fired because of race, gender, religion, etc., but could Trump fire whoever he wants to in the FBI, CIA, DHS? Or deep state? Yes, if they are not under current contract, tenured in any way, or in some way bound to a collective bargaining agreement that their union put in place. So there's going to be some things you can't do. Plus, there's also the idea of vesting. I'm not sure. And somebody, by the way, I know there's a bunch of you out there that are civil servants. In the military, we have a thing called sanctuary. If you're at 18 years, 20 years to vest your retirement, but if you're at 18 years, that's called sanctuary, and they can't let go of you for the 2 more years thereafter because that's deemed too close to your retirement to cut you off. So anyway, Robert, to answer your question, there are grounds by which he could certainly let them go, and there are also some limitations, and there's also going to wind up being the things like, you know, someone's going to claim discrimination or whatever else, but he's got leeway. Duff from Huntsville says, here's an EEO story for you. He says, I'm a white male, a veteran, a Signal Corps radio operator, an expert, applied for a police dispatch job at UAH in Huntsville, was told that I wasn't qualified, applied for the same job at Alabama A&M. I was hired the next day. EEO worked for me in an opposite way. I was a square peg in a round hole. Didn't work out at A&M. Duff, thanks, man. And I have no doubt that happens. And you're an example of it right there. John from Harvest Field, great monologue. I've shared the Vonnegut book with friends before. He said, DEI needs to DIE, die. After most of your monologue, I usually feel I would enjoy sitting in a tap room sharing an adult beverage. He said, cheers, my brother. John, we ought to make that happen. I'm just saying. All right, listen, I got more text messages, and we're going to jump into Trump legal here momentarily. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, light covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, this one, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in, just for good measure. I'll get a few more text messages so I can keep those caught up, and then we'll jump right on into Dipper number one, which is Trump legal. And it is, by the way, it's a fast-developing story. I thought I had the story already built, and then the story is continuing to build itself even as I speak. I'm watching it play across the screen where they're trying to dissect the judge's ruling, which sounds like one of the most egregious and overly punitive rulings I think I have ever heard of. I mean, so, you know... The things that other people are getting away with, and then they're bringing allegations against Trump that just don't appear to have any merit, and then these kind of things happen anyway. Like these I'll say this before I go any further. They picked the wrong person. And now you might say, well, there's only one Trump. Well, there's only one Trump. I get that. But what I'm saying is there is nobody out there who has the force of will, the personality, and the personal resources to be able to withstand the onslaught. Most people would have already been crushed right now. Most people would not even have an opportunity to resist this. They would be literally crushed by it. And so Donald Trump, you know, it's a good thing he's a billionaire. Because right now, if you're not a billionaire, you wouldn't be able to survive this stuff.
And don't you think it's a bit odd that all of this is coming out now? That the whole Biden being an old man, you know, what was it they said the other day?
Oh, yeah. Well, which part did they say the other day? You're talking about when they talked about his being an elderly man with a bad memory? Yeah. That story's kind of fading in the background at the very moment, isn't
it? That supposed to hurt Biden. So here we go. Let's get Trump now.
Well, it's amazing you say that because one of the stories I've got in my stack over here talks about that very thing, how the indictments all seem to be immediately after key things that happened about Biden.
Exactly.
Let me get some text messages, and I'll come back to that. Alif Mathins texted in and says about the monologue, says, Office of the Government Handicapper. This is making me shriek while I'm out and about delivering papers. Thank you, ma'am. Dustin from Hillsboro, the only equality that the left can deliver is equal misery. Wow. There's a T-shirt. Put that on a bumper sticker. Gary H. Says, God first, then coffee, coffee, coffee. Okay. I'm good with that. But I'm going to go ahead and imagine they drink coffee in heaven, just so you know. Morgan from Fort Myers says, there's no such thing as too much coffee. I agree. Absolutely. Jeff from Town Creek says, I feel... He said, I feel what, your voice texting to me, brother, and I can't tell what you're saying, Jeff, but I think he's saying he feels that guitar riff that we play in our show. He must be talking about the opening monologue, the opening thing from...
I think so.
That's from Kaleo.
Oh, okay.
You familiar with Kaleo?
No.
Oh, kind of cool. Kaleo is a, believe it or not, an Icelandic band.
Oh, I thought that was like a royalty-free track.
That is a royalty-free track that I got, but Kaleo is the artist.
Oh, okay.
I love Kaleo. I mean, they're like this bluesy rock kind of heavy sound, but the guy is literally from Iceland. He's singing in his second language.
Okay.
Yeah, check him out, Kaleo, Kaleo. All right, let me just jump on into this topic. So Trump legal. Trump's got more legals than most people have non-legals. I'm just saying, I've never seen anything like this before. I've been practicing law for 20 years, and granted, I might just be this kind of, you know, little Alabama attorney with his own law firm, but nonetheless, I feel like I have a view of things that gives me the ability to say something. And I'm going to say something right now. Ain't never seen nothing like it. How about that? This is unstinking believable. So just to give you, and I've got several pieces here that help describe where we are, but like, for instance, Fox ran a story at the end of December trying to sort of portray what Trump was up against just on scheduling alone. I mean, keep in mind, can you imagine what it takes to be able to run for president? I don't care if you're the incumbent. I don't care if you're a billionaire. I don't care if you're just the guy who is scratching out an existence while you're trying to make it from one, you know, campaign stop to another. It is grueling, is my understanding. I mean, I know what it was like to run for a 4-county state Senate race, and good Lord, I was exhausted. But I cannot imagine having to be in multiple states, crossing multiple time zones, having staff all over the place, coordinating volunteers, having, you know, the accounting stuff that goes along with it, and just on and on, and the, you know, press appearances. In the middle of all that, he has got to appear in one court after the other. And it's not slowing down. Some of it is actually beginning to get a little bit of a hiatus because of Supreme Court, you know, action or appeals that are underway. But right now, it points out in this article from Fox that while he may be campaigning as the command with a commanding lead in the Republican presidential primary field and even leading Biden in the polls, he has now been indicted four times on top of his other civil trial matters. And it says he's now forced to tackle competing calendars with critical early state primary elections and trials days apart. For instance, the very first one that was supposed to be on the calendar but has now been delayed was, and tell me this wasn't planned, special counsel Jack Smith, the one who's investigating the obstruction of official proceedings, you know, the January 6th stuff, as well as the document stuff. Special counsel Jack Smith, his trial was, he was pushing for March 4th. Why is that significant? Well, because March 5th is the biggest primary day of the year. It's called Super Tuesday. It's when Alabama, among all the other states that participate, like Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Virginia, and Vermont, all go to the polls that day. And he was expected to be in trial. Just saying. It's now unclear, though, when that trial could begin because Jack Smith got ahead of himself. He tried to bypass the appellate courts. He tried to go straight to the Supreme Court and say, give me a ruling real quick that I can use. And they said, you don't get to bypass the lower courts. So then it stepped back and it went to the lower courts. And then it came back in a way that Jack Smith would like, but it also gave Trump the reason now to appeal. So Trump appealed. And, you know, it's just, the whole thing's nuts. That case right now, we may find, could go well past the November election. How about the other one? Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, that hack. Alvin Bragg, years-long investigation related to hush money payments paid during the 2016 presidential primary campaign, or presidential campaign, 2016. Let me remind the audience, for those who aren't thinking this way, there is a thing called a statute of limitations. And most statutes of limitations expire in 2 to 4 years. There are some things, like fraud, that you can find expire, you know, after a period of time from the date of discovery. But for the most part, you're looking at, you know, statutes of limitations that are reasonable in scope. 2016. That was 7 years ago, y'all. Oh, it depends on what time of year. I mean, we could be pushing into the eighth year. So Alvin Bragg, Manhattan District Attorney, alleged that Trump repeatedly and fraudulently falsified New York business records to conceal his criminal conduct that hid damaging information from the voting public. You know, never mind the fact that they got the, we have now records that prove that the Biden campaign was, you know, pressing to have the suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop. That's okay. But Trump had a legal agreement. So this is a Stormy Daniels case. Remember Stormy Daniels, the porn star? So there's a claim by Stormy Daniels that she had an affair with Trump. He denies it. But somewhere along the line, like what happens all the time, I can just tell you, there's a settlement agreement. Look, if you'll go away, we'll pay you some money. And here's a confidential settlement agreement. You can't violate it. You can't talk about it. You can't say I gave you money. And the fact that I'm giving you money, by the way, is not an admission of guilt. I can't tell you how many times I've helped my clients enter into settlement agreements. Apparently that meant nothing because Stormy Daniels suddenly surfaced and now she's claiming that there was hush money and it was kept under wraps because he was running for president. Well, of course it was. It was subject to a settlement agreement for one thing. Next on the calendar, we've got the Fulton County, Georgia District Attorney, Fonnie Willis. Fanny? I don't know how to pronounce her name. Fonnie Willis. And by the way, she is a dumpster fire right now. I don't know if you've been tracking it, but it's been like, you know, a royal soap opera going on the news nonstop the last 2 days as we look at the, you know, the sordid details of her personal life. And by the way, if you haven't seen it, I mean, Fonnie Willis is out there when she was campaigning for office, touting her morals and credentials and claiming, and literally, I've watched the video, literally claiming, when I get elected, you can expect that I will not be the kind of DA that ever has sex with their subordinates, wink, wink, which is what she's alleging that her opponent was doing. So what are we finding out now? Oh, just that Fannie Willis was apparently hiring the person she was having an affair with to be one of the contract attorneys in her case and paying him upwards of 9 times the amount she paid other attorneys. And once he made this $650,000 working on the Trump cases with her, he started taking her on trips with the money that she was paying him. But she says that she paid him back, but it was only in cash. Sure, that all works out quite well. This is not a kickback. You were not getting gifts and favors. And it was not, by the way, nepotism when you began to bring your boyfriend in who you were having an affair with to run the Trump case and pay him an exorbitant fee. All of this is happening like now. All this is happening as we speak. And then on top of that, the New York case with Letitia James, Letitia James ran for office saying, watch me, if you'll elect me, I'm going to get Trump. Well, if that's not a bias, I don't know what is. But this Judge Ergeron from New York, and I, by the way, am I somewhat biased here? Yes, I know I am. I know I am. And I'm trying to set it aside. But I can look at this legally and objectively, and I can tell you that what we're seeing is everything so far is absolutely appealable on multiple grounds. But Trump has now been barred in the Letitia James case. And keep in mind, what they said here was that Trump filed false documents to get loans in New York, claiming that his properties were valued differently than what they were. They said that he hyperinflated the value of his assets. What does that mean? Well, when you apply for a loan, you have to give them your debts and assets, right? You have to fill out your loan application. He claimed that he had more assets, which gave him the right to get more and better loans and rates. They're claiming this was fraud. They're claiming that this was criminal fraud. They're claiming that this was, I'm sorry, civil fraud. They're claiming that this is in some way having gotten one over on the taxpayers and the citizens and the people of New York. Except that Trump has pointed out more than once, no bank was ever upset. Every loan got repaid. There was never a default on any of those loans. And oh, by the way, why is the judge deciding for himself what Trump's property is worth down in Florida? He valued the Mar-a-Lago estate at something like a third of its actual fair market value. And then has now told Trump, not only will you pay $355 million in penalties, but you are no longer allowed to do business in the state of New York. You can have no loans from a New York bank. Think about where Wall Street is, by the way. You can no longer work out of your executive offices in New York. Where does he live part-time? That would be Trump Tower in New York. So what you're saying is you are persona non grata here in the state of New York because this judge has decided that this is going to be appealed. This is absolutely going to be appealed. All right, this is unbelievable. I've never seen anything like this, ever. Ever in my born days. If I were not a lawyer, I'd be looking at this going, that ain't right. But the fact that I am a lawyer makes it even more obvious that ain't right. Let's take a break, Big Rig. We'll do that right now. We'll take the break. We'll come right back and tell you more. In the meantime, during the commercial, I'll be trying to grab hold of the details of this decision that literally broke while I was on the air in Trump Legal. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, so this story that just broke, so I'm in Trump Legal. That's number one. I had planned this early this morning that I was going to do this whole section on the various legal trials and tribulations that the Trump team is having to go through, unlike anything I've ever seen before. And so as I'm prepping to go on the air a little while ago, lo and behold, a story breaks, and one of those same cases that I've prepped for today came to a decision. So you may be familiar with the case with Justice, New York Attorney General Letitia James, who, talk about bias. Can you imagine, I mean, what would happen if, say, I don't know, Attorney General Steve Marshall were to run for office and he said up front before he ever took the office, you watch, if I get elected, I'm going to go after this person. Not that kind of thing. Not I intend to enforce the laws. No. I'm going to be an activist. I'm going after that political person. Okay. Well, she did. And she's getting her way right now. But it's going to be appealed. And I hope it just gets smacked back. I hope this Judge Ergeron gets just grilled by the appellate courts. Or Ergeron, or whatever his name is. Here's the story. It broke in the last 45 minutes. Says the judge who presided over the civil business fraud trial against Donald Trump on Friday ordered the former president, his sons, his business associates, and his company to pay over $350 million in damages and temporarily limited their ability to even do business in New York. This is the NBC News. Says Judge Arthur Ergeron or whatever it is, ordered the former president and the Trump organization to pay over $354 million, and they bar Trump from serving as an officer or director of any New York corporation or any other legal entity in New York for a period of the next 3 years. Barred from doing business. Literally, cannot be a principal in any business in New York for 3 more years. I've never heard of this. I mean, you got people with criminal records that run businesses. I know some right here in Alabama that have businesses, and they've got massive criminal records. He also continued that the appointment will be made of an independent monitor. Oh, my gosh. And ordered the installation of an independent director of compliance for the company. You know what that means? We're going to put someone in your company, and they're going to tell us every day what's going on. Why is that not a violation of, you know, business confidentiality? Well, because the judge said so. Okay. During the trial, it says Trump, an executive at the company, attempted to blame their accounting statements on the accountants who had prepared them, but the judge disagreed. The judge went on and just, like, slapped him around a little bit. He said, there is overwhelming evidence, says the judge, from both interested and non-interested witnesses, corroborated by documentary evidence that the buck for being truthful in the supporting data valuation stopped with the Trump organization, not with the accountants. And then he went on to slap them down for not being contrite. Well, if you believe you're innocent, then you're not supposed to be contrite, Judge. This is not like a murder trial. This is accusations that they have denied and they still deny. So why should they be contrite? But he says their complete lack of contrition and remorse borders on pathological. Wow. Wow. This is the judge talking. He says they are accused only of inflating assets to make more money. The documents prove this over and over again. This is a sin. This is a venial sin, not a mortal sin. Defendants did not commit murder or arson, he says. They did not rob a bank at gunpoint. Donald Trump is not Bernie Madoff, and yet the defendants are incapable of admitting the error of their ways. Well, Judge, they're not supposed to admit the error of their ways because you say so. This is the most unconscionable opinion I think I've ever heard of. Well, I think they're guilty, and since they won't admit it, what the heck? Anyway, Trump attorney Alina Haba called the verdict a manifest injustice, plain and simple. She says, given the grave stakes, we trust the appellate divisions will overturn this egregious verdict and end this relentless persecution against my clients. By the way, it points out it's the second time that a verdict has come up against Trump this year. Oh, my gosh. More on this. We'll wrap this up in the next segment. Wow. Trump legal. It is something else. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, I'm in hour number two, still in dipper number one, calling it Trump Legal. So I had all this planned out early this morning to do this whole segment to update everybody on the various trials and tribulations of the Trump team in the legal world. And it's like I said earlier, it's like nothing I've ever seen. Never heard of such. I mean, the idea that you can be indicted in four separate jurisdictions on completely unrelated things, and then on the same token, you've got defamation trials, and then at the same time, you've got, any number of cases that are arising trying to take you off the ballot as you run for office, all while fending off these multiple legal attacks. It's unbelievable. Unstinking believable. But let's take a look at some of that. A story here on Breitbart came out two days ago. Reports are that prosecutors in three of the four indictments actually met with representatives of the Biden administration before the indictments were issued. Really? Well, that would figure. I mean, I feel confident that's probably true. So there's three separate prosecutors reportedly met with White House aides before indicting former President Donald Trump. The reported meeting suggested they coordinated the attack against Biden's 2024 rival. The timing of the indictments are peculiar. After Trump announced a re-election, a bid against Biden, four indictments hit him in four separate jurisdictions, each following revelations about the Biden family business. So yeah, keep this in mind. The indictments were handed down and they became news stealers right when something sort of incriminating about the Biden family came out. Case in point, the first indictment was in the Alvin Bragg case up in New York. That's the Stormy Daniels case. The first indictment was on April 4th, the same day that former Biden aide Kathy Chung was testifying about Biden mishandling his own classified documents. Well, just prior to that, 2 weeks actually, March 17th, Bragg had asked for a meeting with federal law enforcement ahead of the Trump indictment. Wow, there's that one. How about the second one, Jack Smith, the documents case? Smith filed the second indictment on June 8th, the same day an FBI 1023 form surfaced alleging Joe Biden was bribed $5 million. So basically, the second indictment comes out on the same day that, oh, by the way, there's also a story about Joe Biden getting $5 million. Later in June, Smith filed a superseding indictment in the case the day after Hunter Biden's sweetheart plea deal in Delaware fell apart. Isn't that interesting? So you got two Jack Smith indictments, and they both correspond to timelines of issues that make Biden look bad. And then you've got the third case, the Georgia case, the Fannie Willis case. A third indictment against Trump came out on August 14th of 2023. The official website of the Fulton County, Georgia court clerk accidentally put it up before it was ever supposed to have been issued and then had to delete it. That was questionable. But months before that, Fannie Willis's top county prosecutor met twice with Biden's White House counsel on May 23rd and then in the prior November. So yeah, it's pretty crazy when the people who are bringing these lawsuits, all of which appear to be very, very specifically timed, are meeting with members of the Trump team, or excuse me, the Biden team. That just smacks of collusion. And then you got what's going on with Fannie Willis right now. Because y'all, if you've never seen a dumpster fire soap opera occur in a courtroom, there is one happening right now. And I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like, my God. So Fannie Willis comes busting into the court yesterday, demanding to be put on the stand to testify. The implication was that she was already mad. She was mad. She's coming in there and y'all get out of my way because I'm a mad woman. And she's going to get on the stand and she's going to testify. It seemed that she had been listening to the testimony. If you're not familiar, there is actually a rule that can be invoked, and I imagine it was invoked, that if you are going to be providing testimony to the court, you have to be sent out of the courtroom and you cannot be hearing the prior testimony to give you a leg up on what you're going to say. But it does appear that Fonnie Willis may well have heard the testimony of her paramour before her. And then the other question is, did she lie to the court? Did she lie to the court on her own affidavit that said when she did or did not begin dating, oh boy, who has been making a lot of money? So here's the allegation if you're not familiar. Fonnie Willis is the prosecutor who brings a suit against 18 people, including Donald Trump, claiming that they attempted to have the Georgia election results overturned or in some way corrupted. Having brought the 18, she then hires a guy because, you know, it's too much for her office to handle. So she hires this guy named Nathan Wade to come in and assist, who, by the way, has no background in doing this kind of legal practice, but he is a lawyer. Oh, guess what? We find out later on. It's her boyfriend with whom she takes special trips, and she pays him an exorbitant amount of money. There are two other contract lawyers in this case. One made $70,000. The other made $90,000. Her boyfriend made $650,000 just working this case for the county. And then on top of that, she alleges that she did not have a relationship with him prior to the indictments, and we are now finding out quite clearly that she did. So the question then becomes, did you overpay the guy so that he could then take you on trips and maybe pay you in cash for doing some things on the side? And there's discussion right now. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be in the hands of the judge, who probably hates his job right now, to be honest. But this judge has got to deal with the fact that this is a DA that he's supposed to see every single day in the courthouse. And he's got to decide now whether she has to be disqualified from the case. And then you have to begin to wonder, well, is there any merit to Trump's claims that the fact that she paid her boyfriend that much and may have received some gain from it is a part of the reason why she brought the indictments in the first place? Wow. I got a call on the line real quick. Let me just jump over there. And is that Lee? Lee from Huntsville. What are you doing? How are you?
Hey, I'm good this afternoon. I just had to kind of jump in. And you left one thing out on good old Fanny.
Yeah.
Which I call her Fanny. Some people call her Fonny. I say Fanny. That sounded like Trump there. Good old Fanny is in trouble also now for, or could be potentially, for firing someone from her office after they complained about corruption about specific people there, and that person recorded her.
Oh, I didn't know there was a recording.
And she was going to her thing. Huh?
I didn't know there was a recording.
Oh, yes, she recorded her, and you hear her explaining, saying, hey, I'm afraid to, you know, go back to some of these other people that I have brought allegations to because they're, you know, I'm concerned they'll come back at me, because she said, you know, I'm telling you that this person, and she's referring to someone in Fannie's office, you know, is not spending money correctly for programs that, you know, how you have federal money for programs that
right.
has to be spent very specifically.
Right.
Anyway, there was some allegation about that, which I found interesting. But this is Atlanta. If anybody has ever lived in Atlanta, which I have, or if anybody is familiar with Atlanta, Atlanta is one giant hookup. One giant jobs program. It is the worst run city in the world, and it's run on like duct tape and shoestring, and it's awful. It's a terrible city. So that this is happening there doesn't surprise me even a little bit. But all in all, this whole thing is just to wear Trump out. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's, of course, collusion. You can't have this many people filing these many serious charges in this time period without it being collusion. It's not, you know, it's not possible that it isn't.
Yeah.
And they just want to wear him out. They want to wear him out legally.
I would say that absolutely the goal is to convict him, to bankrupt him, and to smear him. But at the same time, I think their goal is also just to crush his soul because they can't stand him personally.
Yeah. The hate for him is so incredible, and they're basically watching us like, we can never have him get back in. If he gets back in, we are proverbially screwed if he comes back in. And they know that they're going to fight like an animal caught in a trap to prevent him from getting back in that office. And the thing is, I don't think they even care, Phil, if it gets overturned later. They don't care. They just care about what the implication is now and how to smear him now, right during this last year, the last leg of the campaign. They just want to make sure that he's good and smeared before the voters, because they keep thinking the more they pile on, then people will start falling off. But what they're not understanding is the more they pile on, it seems the opposite's happening.
Well, see, here's the thing, too, Lee. They don't seem to take note of something. Is that Trump is a force of nature at this point. He's not just a political figure. He's not just a billionaire who's running for office. He's not just a former president. He's a freaking force of nature. And so what's going to wind up happening is this. If by some chance they keep him off the ballot and he can't run, don't think for a second he's going to be out there making your lives easy, because he's going to be out there. He's going to be out there using everything in his power to. He's going to become the right wing George Soros. He's going to become the guy who is going after everything and everyone who ever stands in the way of anything that the right would like to see happen. And if they think for a second that he's going to just fade away because we got him off the ballot, they're wrong, because a force of nature does not just fade away.
Well, no, and I think he's the burn the world kind of, down kind of person. Like, he's going to make them pay one way or the other. But here's the thing. I don't think they're going to be able to keep him off the ballot. I think the Supreme Court, in the end, is going to come through on that, because it's just it's not possible to me that you can keep someone off the ballot over something that they're not convicted of.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Or even charged with. It's insanity. So I think he will be on the ballot, and I think there's a very good chance he can win again.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't wait to get the popcorn out to see what happens, because, if he wins again, he's going to be like that guy. And Argentina that was like, afuela? Like, we're going to get rid of everything. I want him to afuela, like 500 government departments. Just afuela. That's my goal.
I like it. Afuela. I'm going to be saying that the rest of the day. Afuela. Oh, all right. Lee from Huntsville, we appreciate you. And I look forward to seeing you this weekend, by the way, at the Moms for Liberty event.
Me too. It'll be great.
All right. See you then. All right, brother. Big Rig, let's take it to the break, man. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. Do I have some more on this? I may have some text messages. All right. We'll wrap this thing up when we come back, because I didn't even get into all of it. There's that much. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, saving the world one soundbite at a time. So Trump's got all these legal things going on, right? Let's go ahead and wrap this up. I got to put an end to it somewhere, right? I mean, I could talk about this for the next 3 days. It's that lengthy. There's so much here. But the thing you might want to know, too, is that the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg investigation into the Stormy Daniels alleged hush money payments, that case has now been set for trial March 25th. That just came out. Story broke on Fox News yesterday afternoon. So, yes, now we have a verdict in the Letitia James civil fraud claim trial for $355 million, barring him from ever doing business for the next 3 years in the state of New York, and can't borrow money from anybody, any bank in the state of New York. Just unbelievable. And they're also going to appoint, by the way, a special monitor that's going to be an independent monitor that will sit in the business and go, yeah, we don't like that file. Hey, what's that over there? Hey, show me that file cabinet. By the way, I don't expect that guy's going to get asked to go to lunch very often. Just saying. But now we also have a trial in the Alvin Bragg case, March 25th, right smack in the middle of primary season. And then we have questions about what's going to wind up happening with Jack Smith, the special counsel appointed by Merrick Garland to investigate the January 6th allegations, as well as the classified documents allegations. So that one's gotten a bit weird, because it went before the Supreme Court when it shouldn't have, because Jack Smith was trying to rush it and bum rush the Supreme Court with it. They sent it back. It then went to the appellate courts where it should have gone in the first place. They did rule in Jack Smith's favor on the question of whether or not Trump has immunity, sovereign immunity as a president, because, y'all, I'm going to be honest with you. There has to be some measure of immunity for the actions taken by a public official in the course of their duties. Like, you know, I don't like this gambling bill that passed the other day in the state house, right? But I can't sue them for making that because whether I like it or not, they may have very well voted their conscience and casting a vote was a part of their jobs. I don't have to like it, but I can't just sue them for it. There's some measure of immunity for doing the job of a public official. Otherwise, nobody would ever run. That being said, the question now is, does the president have immunity for the things that are being alleged by the Jack Smith tribunals? Well, that one's now jammed up, and it might not even go to court before we get to the election. And then there's the question of what's going to happen with the efforts to take Trump off the ballot. Right now, the Supreme Court appears unlikely to kick Trump off the Colorado ballot. This story came off of SCOTUS blog. SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States. SCOTUS is the nickname. SCOTUS blog is one of the sites that follows them closely. SCOTUS blog has a piece that came out last week and just centers on the fact that we just had oral arguments before the Supreme Court of the United States on the question of whether or not Colorado has the authority under state or federal law to actually remove a presidential candidate. And oh, by the way, with the premise being that they have in some way violated the 14th Amendment of the Constitution for having participated in an insurrection. And yet there's never been an indictment, much less a conviction, of insurrection on the part of Donald Trump. So how does a Secretary of State make a decision, or for that matter, in this case, the Colorado Supreme Court, make a decision that something has legally occurred when there's never, ever been a trial to adjudicate that issue? It's maddening. I'll take a few text messages before I go to the break, and then we're going to come back and shift gears entirely. Crystal from Moulton. Is that Cousin Crystal? It is. Cousin Crystal says, time to get the Trump flags flying. There you go. Gary from Decatur says, remember the famous Democrat ploy. It's not about the guilt or the innocence of the person. It's about the seriousness of the charge. Yeah. Yeah. If you can't beat them, just beat them down, right? James from Alabaster says, all these so-called people in high positions will be so sorry the day they stand before the real high court. They will stand before God for the evil they are doing against Trump for no reason, just pure evil. But the good part of it all is that God will be the last judge in all these trumped-up cases. Like the Bible says, money is the root of all evil. Definitely money is being funneled behind closed doors in these cases. Thank you, James. And by the way, let me say this, too, to James's point. I would be mad if this was done against Nancy Pelosi. It shouldn't happen like this. This is called lawfare. This is unreal. Dustin from Hillsboro, if I ran any business in New York, I'd leave yesterday. There you go. All right, coming right back, we're shifting gears. Duty, honor, country. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.